Psalms 16 and verse 11. Speaking of God, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Church, I want to make a radical statement this morning, if I can. And that is, it is not possible to live a good life, a blessed life, unless you have God in your life. It is not possible to live a good life, a blessed life, unless you have God in your life. Amen? You can try. You can give it a go if you want. You can try and live your life without God, but let me tell you, you will not succeed. Or you might succeed for a while. Things might go well for a while. You might have seasons where things might go well, but I can tell you for sure, if you do not have God in your life, you will not succeed in life. It is impossible to live a good life, your best life, without having God in your life. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but its end is the way of death or destruction." We all have our own minds. We all think, that this way I might succeed, or that way I might succeed, or maybe if I even go this way, I will succeed. But I can tell you this morning, unless you allow God to make those decisions for you, you will not succeed. It will lead to destruction. Amen? There is a way that seems right to a man. It might seem right to you. It might seem obvious to you. It might seem straightforward to you. But in the end, if it's not God's way, it will lead to death and destruction. We talked last week about finding our one thing this year, Jesus, yeah? And drawn closer to Jesus. We looked at that scripture there out of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 from the Message version that says that anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. You know, God knows where he's going. Amen? How many here make good passengers? Yeah. We don't make good passengers, do we? No, especially if you can drive too. If you're a driver as well, you don't want to be in the passenger seat. You want to drive, amen? Angela does not make a good passenger. I can say that this morning. She's not here. And you just won't tell her. But since we got that new car for Angela, let me tell you, she wants to drive it all the time. She does not want me to drive that car at all. This is secret. It's just between us, okay? That's not that I'm not a good driver. I'm a good driver. I'm a really good driver. She just loves to drive that car. We dropped Rebecca to the airport, or picked her up from the airport last week. She was away for a couple of days with one of her friends, and we picked her up on Monday. And Angela drove all the way up to Dublin. She drove all the way around to Dublin. We were up a couple of hours early, so we went to get something to eat, but she drove out to the airport. And just as we were at the airport waiting for Rebecca to come out, I'm telling you, this is just between us now, okay? Rebecca, we parked just outside the airport in the drop-off spot and the pick-up spot, and we went in to use the lavatory, and I went in first, and I came out then. You know them spots just outside the airport? You can't really stay there very long, and you certainly can't abandon your car there, so she waited for me to come back then, and when she went in, then I sat into the driver's seat. And Rebecca and her friend, they came back, and they hopped into the car, and then Angela was a few minutes behind that, so she came in and came back, and she saw I was sitting in the driver's seat, and she didn't say anything. She didn't say anything, and I thought, okay, praise the Lord, she's not going to say anything to me now. And for 2 minutes. Praise the Lord. By the time we had come out around the airport, as you drive out of the airport, she was saying, "That was a sneaky move," she said, "you made getting into the driver's seat." Anyway, praise God. That's just a by the way. Okay, and that's just between us. That's not to leave this room this morning. But praise God, we don't make good passengers, do we? Because we always like to think that we know a better way. We always like to think that, maybe take this turn or take that turn. Or how many people criticize the sat-nav? I do all the time. And I'm usually right. But that's another story for another day, all right? Anyone who comes with God has to let God lead, because you're not in the driver's seat. God says, "I am." I want to talk to you today, just for a few minutes, about in all of our doing, that we bring our everything to the Lord, and we bring the Lord along with us, and we include the Lord in everything that we do and every decision that we make. This life that we're leading is stressful, isn't it? Not an easy life. Let's be honest, it is not an easy life. I asked you to start there this morning how your week was, and I know you said six, or you said seven. Maybe some of you even maybe thought you had a five, and I'll be honest with you, my week this week was probably about a four. This was a stressful week for me. I wasn't feeling great. Angela wasn't feeling great. We had head colds on us this week, you know, from last Sunday. It developed into a full-on blown cold. I had to get my cylinder changed at home this week. That was a huge job, stressful job. Took a couple of days to get it done. So I really felt when I came into Friday this week that my week was wasted. I really felt that, you know, I didn't accomplish a whole lot this week. I wasn't feeling well. Start of the week, Angela wasn't feeling well. And this cylinder job that we had to get changed. I mean, I drove into Wexford five times last Wednesday. Five times. And I think once or twice into Enniscorthy, just to get bits and pieces for this. I've really felt that this week, for me, four. This week was a four. We live in a really stressful time. There's no point in us candy-coating that. It is a stressful time. And as we went into our new year this year, and with all the things that we have going on in our lives, we can't avoid some of the things that we have going on. Like my cylinder, it had to be changed. I think around October, November time, we were running the bath one night, and as we were running the bath, the bath was kind of rusty looking, the water in it. And okay, that was one go. It was fine the next time, but then we knew at this stage, this thing is 18 years there, this is going to need changing. But you know, it's an expensive job, you put it off, you keep kicking it down the road a bit, you think it'll be okay, but around the middle of January, we started to get a sulfury smell off of the hot water, and we were like, oh, it has to be done. You know, there's things that we can't avoid in life. And these things makes us a bit worrisome, a bit anxious, you know. How am I going to get, where am I going to find a plumber? I have to come up with this money to pay for all this stuff. And all of that stuff, all of the stresses in life. I just want to talk to you this morning, even though there's these things that we have in our lives that's coming up, no matter what they may be. They're in our paths this year. We know that we can't avoid them this year. I want to suggest to you this morning that if we start to bring these things to God, that God will be able to make these things so much easier for us to get over and to get through. I want to talk this morning about how we can live lightly in this world. James chapter 4 and verse 13 says this. Now listen, you say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Now, the first observation I want to make from this passage of Scripture today is that James is not saying that we shouldn't make plans. He's not saying that we shouldn't buy that car, or we shouldn't, you know, move into that home, or we shouldn't build this thing, or we shouldn't change and get this different job. James is not saying that we shouldn't make plans. What God is saying to us through this Scripture this morning is that what he is saying is that the way that we are making our plans is wrong. The way we make our plans is wrong because we have a tendency to totally exclude God from our plan making. God is saying that the way we make our plans is actually boastful and arrogant and actually is sinful. Now, I'm not saying that we need to invite God into our lives when we decide what breakfast we're getting, whether we should have scrambled egg on toast or Weetabix. That's not what I'm saying. We can make small decisions. But in our big life decisions that we make, we need to bring God along on the journey. Amen? We need to include God, and we need to say, Lord, if this be your will, that I buy this home or move into this house, or if it be your will, Lord, that I take this job. We need to start bringing God in on our decision making. And we haven't been doing it, have we? We really haven't. We've been making decisions. We've been doing stuff in our lives, and we really haven't been inviting God along for the journey. If you might remember last year, we were telling you about these two different buildings that we here in church, we were believing God and trusting God for. But every time that we prayed over those buildings, and the same today, is like, Lord, if it is your will, Lord, your will be done with that building. Because if God wants you to have it, let me tell you, you'll have it. And if God doesn't want you to have it, then he has something better for you. Amen? And we need to start to trust God in the process, because we've been excluding God from the process. And it is a bad thing for us to exclude God from the processes in our lives. Amen? Because it's bad for our relationship with God, but it's also bad for us. It's not good for us to keep God out of these decisions in our life. I mean, how would you react if someone that you loved and said that loved you didn't include you in the big decisions that they were making in life? How would you react? If that person who says they loved you, they drove in tomorrow with a brand new car. How would that make you feel? That you weren't consulted on it? Or if you loved them, you were close to them, and you said to them, oh, you know, on a Monday morning at 8 o'clock, you're not going to work today, honey. They said, no, I quit my job last week. And you're like, you didn't mean to tell me about that? You know, how would that make you feel if the alarm clock went off at 2:30 in the morning and they got up out of the bed and they got dressed and prepared to leave the house, and you said, hey, what are you at? And they said, well, no, I'm heading off to America for a few days. And as they walked out the door then, they said to you, oh, by the way, I've sold a house. You know, the movers are coming later on today. How would that make you feel? And I know you might be thinking, there, that's really extreme, isn't it? But how would it make you feel if the one who you say loves you, who says that they love you, didn't include you in the big decisions that you're making in life? But yet that is what we are doing in our life when we don't include God in our decision-making process. Church, we need to include God, amen, in our decision-making process in life. We need not treat God like we've forgotten about him or that he's irrelevant to us, amen? God is not irrelevant to us. You know, one of the greatest sins in the Old Testament that the people of God, the children of God, committed was they forgot God. They forgot him. Yeah, they remembered him maybe for an hour on a Sunday morning, or sometimes when they prayed over their lunch, maybe they remember God then, but most of their lives they lived oblivious to the presence of God and oblivious to the knowledge of who God was to them. I seriously couldn't tell you this morning how many times the Word of God says, and the children of God forgot him. You see it time and time again, how even when God was blessing them, even when God was parting Red Seas from them, even when God was doing all of the things, giving them the pillar of cloud during the day to protect them from that hot sun as they marched across the desert for 40 years. Even in that time, even at the times at night when God gave them the pillar of fire to keep them warm, it says that time and time again they forgot God. Even when God was sending all the plagues on the Egyptians and protecting them, they still forgot him. When God was providing for them, parting the Red Sea for them, even when God was defeating their enemies in their paths. It says in Psalms 106 and verse 21, it says, and they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things for them in Egypt. Now, I know sometimes we forget birthdays. Anybody forget birthdays? We forget birthdays. And praise God for Angela. She never forgets a birthday. I do. Amen. I forget birthdays. I forget anniversaries. Praise the Lord that Christmas Day is on the same day every year, because I probably would forget that too. But to forget manna and quail? for 40 years to get up every morning and manna be there on the ground, and every evening for God to fly in your dinner as well? I mean, God was Deliveroo before Deliveroo was ever Deliveroo. Amen? To forget manna and quail, to forget the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, who does that? But yet in Judges chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and they served the Baals and the Asherites. Not only did they forget the Lord, that was bad enough, but to rub salt into the wound, they went out and they worshipped false gods, and they gave praise to these false gods that were due to God. I mean, they worshipped the creation rather than the Creator. Praise God. They did that because God wasn't working on their timeline. God wasn't doing the thing for them when they wanted it done in their time. Amen? Lord, never let us forget what you have done for us in the past while we wait for you today. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32 says, does a young woman forget her jewelry? A bride, her wedding ornaments. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. A young woman never forgets her jewelry, amen? Older women don't forget their jewelry, amen? Anytime I ever see any of our young and old, young and younger women in our house leaving the house, they're always putting on their jewelry. They never forget it. Never once will they leave. From watches to rings to chains to earrings, praise God, they never forget them. Have you ever seen a bride not wear her jewelry on her wedding day? No. Bride will never forget to wear her jewelry on her wedding day. Will she forget her makeup? A bride has never stood at the altar and go, I forgot my makeup. I've never seen a bride forget her makeup. I've seen a few brides that could have done with a little less makeup, but I've never yet seen a bride without her makeup. Amen. But it says that you, my people, have forgotten me days without number. You know what that means? I can't remember the last time you talked to me. Can't remember the last time you acknowledged me. Church, we need to get to a place where in all of these life decisions that we don't forget God. Amen? We've got to involve God in everything that we do, in every decision that we make. Have you ever forgotten something important? Yeah? Yeah? Post a letter maybe? Maybe make a deposit in the bank at the right time, or forgotten to get, you know, stuff that you needed to get, or have you ever really forgotten something really important? I forget stuff. Amen. I forget stuff. I forget to hang out to washing. Any men here ever been asked to hang out to washing by their wives when they had to leave the house before the washing machine finished? And as they were leaving the door for the fifth time, they said, "When that washing machine finished, will you make sure you hang out that washing?" And you say, "Yep, absolutely, no problem." Only for him to come home about 2 hours later and... Or if you're lucky, you're standing at the line, you're just doing... No, but you've probably forgotten. I've done that so many times. When I hear Angela driving in through the yard, I am up out of my seat, I tell you, and I am grabbing that stuff to hang on the line. And if I'm lucky, then before she gets into the house... You know, it's on the line already, and she'll go out and she'll check it, and it's like, yeah, it's ringing wet. That's gotten me in trouble. I'm always forgetting to get the milk. Thank God I've never forgotten to pick the girls up from someplace. When they were younger, when they were in school, or when they were at parties or whatever, I've never forgotten to pick them up. I've never left the house leaving them behind me. Have you anybody ever done that? I've never done that. I've never left the house leaving any of the girls behind me. You see, when you love somebody, you'll consult with them, won't you? You'll talk with them. You'll consult with them. And what God is saying in this verse here today is that when you love me, you say that you love me, but you stop consulting with me. In fact, it looks like God is saying that you have forgotten me. You never bring me in on your planning. And the other thing that that does is that it's not only bad for our relationship with God because we forget him, but it's bad for ourselves because we forget God. And when we forget God, what we're actually saying is that, you know, I don't need God's hand on my life anymore. I don't need God making my path straight anymore. I don't need him to provide for me anymore, because I don't need God's influence on my life anymore, because I got this myself. I'm good, God. Got this myself. Things are going well. I have enough money in the bank. I have enough food in the pantry. I have enough health in my body. I have enough friends. I have a good roof over my head. And everything is going well. I have a nice job, Lord. I'm providing for all of my needs. And actually, God, I actually don't need you at the moment. When we don't bring God in on our decisions in life, we're saying, God, I don't need you, because I've got this. I know everything. There's nothing I can't do. There's no mountain that I can't climb. I'm the author of my own future. I am the light to my own path. I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough. I'm rich enough to take care of everything and anything that might come against me. Reminds me of the foolish farmer. Remember that story over there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Jesus was telling a parable, and he said to them, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Never once did this fortunate, blessed farmer think about God in his prosperity. He just sat back and he thought that I'm good for this. I've got everything that I need. I've got enough for today. I've got enough for tomorrow. In actual fact, I've got enough for the next number of years. I'm going to sit back and take it handy. He never, ever thought to bless God out of his blessing. The Message version puts it this way in verse 20. It says, just then God showed up and said, fool, tonight you die. And your barns full of goods, who gets it? Church, may we never forget that the Lord is the one who determines the length of our years. And all the riches in the world will not add 1 minute to them. You see, that's the way that we live, this world that we live in today, isn't it? That's their attitude. They don't need God. I don't need God. I'm able to take care of everything that I need myself. I'm able to take care of all of my needs. I don't need God interfering in my life. I don't need this sky fairy. Anyone ever hear anyone calling God a sky fairy? I don't need the sky fairy interfering in my life. I'm the author of my own future. I'll decide the when, the where, and the ifs of my life. When the reality is, in our opening scripture today, in James 4:14, is why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this and that. Now, I wonder what our lives would look like if we began from today to make more of a habit of saying, this is what I want to do. I want to get this job. I want to buy this house. I want to rent this apartment. I want to move to this part of the country. I want to move to this country. I want to do this course in college, or any one of 100 other big decisions that we make in our lives. And I wonder if we were to start to make our plans, if we submitted them underneath the Lord, and if we said, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this. You see, when we didn't get those two buildings that we were talking about earlier, that we were believing God for this year, when we didn't get those two buildings, yeah, we were a little bit disappointed, because it is natural to be a bit disappointed, but we weren't shattered, because we had said, if it is God's will. If it is God's will. Because we didn't know whether it was or not. Because we're trusting God. And today, we believe God has something so much better for us. Amen? So much better for us. Because if those buildings that we had our eye on, that we believe we're trusting God for, if they weren't good enough for God, well, then that's fine. He has something better. Amen? I wonder if we had that attitude, if it be the Lord's will. I wonder, would that help us in our everyday decisions? It helped us when we didn't get what we were trusting and believing God for. It helped us because we were like, if it is God's will, then that's fine. I wonder if we decided to add and submit all of our plans to the Lord. And if we let go control. And I know a few of you, when I start to say let go control, you start to perspire. Because we love being in control. We love knowing that I'm holding on to this thing hard. I've got this, you know. We find it hard to let go of control. But I wonder how much less stressful our lives would be if we were to let go of control. Let go of control of where we live. Let go of control of always having to be in control of every aspect of our lives. You know, one of the main reasons that people end up in divorce is because one or other of the partners is too controlling. And if you're in a relationship and you're controlling that relationship, like if you're really domineering that relationship, what you're saying to the other person is, I don't trust you to make decisions. I don't trust you to be able to handle the finances or handle the weekly shop or whatever it may be. I wonder how less stressful our lives would be if we just let go of control and say, God, you know what? I'm bringing it to you. I'm giving it to you. With our girls, we've always done that. With our home, with our jobs, with everything in our lives, we've always said, hey, God, you know, you gave it to us. You love us, love them more than we do. We're relinquishing control to you. You'll take care of them. You'll look after them. Amen? I wonder what our lives would look like if we started to trust God more. Church, we need to trust God, not just in the small things. We need to trust God in the everythings. Amen? We need to trust God in everything. All of our big decisions that we make in life, we need to bring God in on us. Amen? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. I read a story this week of a U.S. investor who lost 16 euros, no, 16,000, no, 16 million, no, 16 billion overnight when the cryptocurrency market collapsed a few years back. Let that sink in. I'd be devastated if I dropped a euro on the ground and couldn't find it. Devastated. I would ruin my week. No, I wouldn't, really. That was a fiver, maybe, but not. I would be devastated if I lost a few hundred euros. I mean, imagine losing 16 billion overnight. If all of your investments are in the hands of men, then your trust is in the hands of men. Psalms 20 and verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we the children of God, believers in Jesus, those who have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of our lives, those who profess faith in Jesus, we will trust in the name of our Lord. I'm not saying that you shouldn't trust in stuff, but let your full trust be in God, amen? Because stuff will let you down. The day will come when the car won't start, amen? The day will come when, like us, we have to change the cylinder. The day will come when the milk will be sour and the fridge is broken. Amen? But one thing I will tell you, if you put your trust in God, He will never let you down. Amen? Continuing in Matthew chapter 6, it says in verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. We need to trust in God, amen? We need never to forget to trust in God. We need to remind ourselves of the things that God did for us in the past. That's where the children of Israel made their mistakes. They forgot what God had done for them in the past. They thought God was like a genie in a lamp. I'm hungry. Manna and quail. I'm thirsty. Water from a rock. I've got an enemy. Oh, God will take care of my enemy. They thought God was like the genie in the lamp. God's not the genie in the lamp, amen? Amen? He's a real God. We need to put all of our trust in Him. He'll never let us down, amen? Horses, chariots, refrigerators, cylinders, they'll let you down, amen? But God will never let you down. Amen? I think if I was to ask every one of you today, has there ever been a time in your life where if you had been 1 minute earlier or 1 minute later, you'd have had a disaster? I mean, that, you know that time when you couldn't find your shoe? That time when you couldn't find your keys and you were 3 minutes late leaving the house? And as you were on your journey, the same journey that you took every day, heading to work or whatever you do, 2 minutes late on the road, you come across an accident. And as you come across the accident and you see what has happened, you're reminded, if I'd have found my shoe, if I'd have had my way, if I'd have found my keys, that could have been me. Have you ever missed a flight, missed something, missed a bus, missed... You know what I'm talking about? I think every one of you have had that experience in life where if you had have been there at the time that you wanted to be there, if you had have done the thing that you wanted to do, it would have led to a disaster. Catastrophe, loss. We've all had those stories, amen? When you trust your life fully to God, when you say, if it be God's will... You're going to have to get to a place where you accept that, you know, God can steer, God can direct your life, and He will keep you from tragedy. Amen? When we trust God, we got to trust Him, amen? It's like that trust fall thing, you know, when someone stands behind you and say, hey, look, just close your eyes and just fall back into my arms, trust me. I would say 90% of us, if I was to ask you to do that this morning, would be looking over your shoulder. Just to check, make sure you're there. But when we trust God, we got to trust Him fully. And if that means sometimes we don't get to do what we want to do or go where we want to go, then we got to trust that that's God's will too. Amen? Amen? If we're trusting God completely, then God is going to block us sometimes from doing the stuff that we might think that we want to do. Amen? There was this time when Paul, who was on his missionary journeys, and he had been to Corinth, he had been to Philippi, he'd been to Athens, he'd been to several other different places on his missionary journeys. He decided one day, for no other reason, only that it was on his to-do list, to go to Bithynia. And there was nothing wrong with this decision. This is what he did. But it says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 7, and it said, as he was heading there, he said, and when they came to Mysa, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them. Was there a reason why he shouldn't have went to Bithynia? Probably no good reason that he shouldn't have went there. I mean, they needed to hear the gospel too. And I'm sure somebody else went there at some other stage. But at this day, for no other reason, only God said, you're not going there today. Did it mean that that was a bad place? No. Did it mean that God didn't want the gospel preached there? No. But Paul was so clued in, so connected with the will of God for his life, that if the Holy Spirit would not let him go that day, they didn't go. Now, we have no idea what God was protecting him from. Maybe protecting him from disaster. Maybe protecting him from death. I don't know. But if God doesn't want you to do something, we got to give him permission not to. We got to give him permission to allow him to stop us. Amen? So next time you can't find your shoe, just say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next time you can't find your keys, praise the Lord. Because listen, if I could show you this morning, or if God could show you this morning the amount of times he's preserved and protected your life, I mean, we would be shocked. And you know what I'm going to tell you? The reason why we don't know that is because I think the enemy would use it for fear. Yeah. Amen? If we could see the amount of time God has saved and protected our lives, the enemy would use that for fear. Because God has preserved our lives so many times. Amen? So many times. But we got to trust him. We got to allow him. Amen? We got to have our attitude over our lives. You know what? God, I will do this. I will do what I have planned to do today, if it be your will. But Lord, if you have something else that you need me to do, then that's fine. Amen? Psalms 32 and verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. You see that? God said, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way that you should go. Amen? I'd rather have God guiding me in life than me guiding my life. Amen? He's much better at it. He sees the things I don't see. Psalms 32 and verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Amen? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God will delight in his way. One more scripture and we'll close this morning. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says that we, followers of Jesus, that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Get this. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. In all of your ways, church, have the attitude, Lord, have your way. If it be your will, Lord, and he will make your ways straight. Amen? Trust completely in the Lord, all your ways, and acknowledge him in every decision you make. In Jesus' name, amen.